From America's frontier, Nebraska, it's time for the Outdoor Connection, brought to you by TJ and the crew from the Minnow Bucket in North Platte. The Minnow Bucket, for all your hunting, fishing, and outdoor needs. Stop in today at 1013 South Jeffers in North Platte. Here's your host of Husker Radio's Outdoor Connection, Rick Windham.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Outdoor Connection and the monthly Stump the Chumps version with TJ Harding here from the Minnow Bucket. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Morning. How are you guys doing today?
Grab a pen. Write this number down, 308-532-8221. And that'll be the number you can call in with. I like the way they do the ad for you, and they say TJ and the crew at the Minnow Bucket. They must be including Mavis.
Yeah, the dog. I'm sure she's. I told Mavis yesterday she's working on commission from now on. I can't afford to pay her hourly, so she needs to start carrying her weight a little bit better down there. No, I've got a couple guys that help me out. Bill and yep. John and Donnie, Don Garrick guy I bought the store from. They pitch in and help out quite a bit.
Somebody's going to have to when you take off on your moose hunt.
That's right.
Somebody's going to have to cover that.
Yep, we've been talking about that already, and I told those guys. Just get together with yourselves and write your own schedule. I'm not going to write your schedule for you. I mean, they should be able to figure out, what days will work and everything else. But those three guys and probably another one or two folks to go in and maybe help with more of the gun side of things and shouldn't be too hard to not burn the store down for 10 days or so.
Keep our fingers crossed, yeah. Now, we're wrapping up on turkey season.
Yep, turkey season's pretty much at the end here. So.
Are you seeing a big surge now in fishing stuff, people talking
about? Yeah, oh yeah, it's like the flip switched here, or the switch flipped here a couple weeks ago. Turkeys, the grass gets tall enough, and I think that kind of deters a few people, once it starts getting wetter and the grass is taller and the ticks are higher up off the ground and everything else.
And we had a heck of a year for ticks.
Oh, my, you bet. But, fishing's been the thing pushing the business here for the last, probably two or three weeks. And it's heated up good everywhere. People ask me, where's the fish biting? And I said, you find a body of water right now and you're going to go catch fish.
Yeah.
It is the time to be out on the water.
It is good. And just depending, it's not where they're biting. It's maybe narrow it down to what species you're looking for.
Yeah, what type of species or, certain types of day. I mean, I'm big into the moon phase stuff, look at that. And, a lot of people don't realize that the fish are going to bite better on a full moon phase and a new moon phase, and with the waxing and waning moon phases, they're not as active. But this time of year is almost an exception to that rule because the fish are going to bite every day. Some just might be better than others.
So. They've come out of a long winter. Their forage base is growing and becoming more noticeable to them, so they feed voraciously.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So call in with your questions, 308-532-8221. And we'll see if we can give you an intelligent answer anyway. I may not be totally right.
last time they threw some stuff at me, I was like, I need to go research that a little bit more. I do have a rebuttal on that white-tailed deer subspecies deal from last time, though. If you want to get nitpicky about it, technically there's 37 different subspecies of white-tailed deer.
How do they figure that?
Well, it's interesting because I looked it up And I remember something about it. I mean, there's a bunch of islands off the coast of Central America. And almost every single island has its own designated subspecies of whitetail. And it's pretty nitpicky.
Now, whitetail in Central America has to be like key deer in Florida.
It'd be awful similar. Right. I would think so, too. And I don't know enough about them, once you get south of the Rio Grande, really. But I would think that they'd be a lot smaller. I mean, any of those desert deer, too, the Carmen Mountain whitetails and the coos, obviously, are smaller. And then you got the Florida Key deer. But, yeah, those jungle deer got to be tiny down there in Central America.
We did find, you did the research.
I did.
So we do know.
By God, I don't know.
I grew up hunting deer in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And 140-pound buck was a big one.
Yeah.
That was big bragging rights.
Oh, yeah.
I moved to Nebraska, and my first year here, the first fall, I had a chance to get out and do some bow hunting, and I arrowed a a doe that dressed out at close to 170 pounds.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking, good God, man, they have super deer up here. And then I got to learn a little bit more about they need the extra body mass to get through the winters. But that's good.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Here we go.
Good morning. You're on with the Outdoor Connection.
Well, good morning, Rick, TJ, and Tristan.
Good morning. Morning. How are you doing?
Well, I'm listening to you all from Kearney. I'm listening to you, although via the Husker Radio website.
Very
and,
good.
That's really user-friendly, so I enjoy that.
Glad to hear.
Well, you know, you're not going to get me on the radio without me stressing, if you want to protect Second Amendment rights, I recommend that Nebraska increase the youth permit age to 18. And I also stress public access. If these kids don't have a place to hunt, they're not going to be shooters. That being said, I'm going to kind of bring up the elephant in the room, feral cats. Rick, you had Bonnie Edwards on a week or two ago.
Yes, talking about birds.
And that also, you know, your feral cats, when you drive through anywhere rural, they're everywhere. And I don't remember as a kid being 12 miles from the nearest farm or ranch house and seeing a feral cat come out of the ditch. But nowadays, I've got to think it's people dumping their cats, but, you know, the problem with this is they're devastating the game bird population, and not just the game bird population, but the songbird population in the country.
Birds in general, yes.
And
they're second only to plate glass windows as being the top mortality for birds.
Well, you know, I think it's like a horse plant. Nobody likes, people say, well, a horse plant, that's cruel, they're horses. Well, there are horses that need to be culled. And nothing was better for the horse herd in America when you had a horse plant in North Platte, Nebraska. Now, the same way with these feral cats, and I'm not a cat hater, but at some point, if we want to rebound some of these bird populations, we've got to take a look at feral cats one way or another. Education, of course, listen to Bob Barker, spay and neuter your dogs and cats. But at some point, we've got to address that if we want our bird populations to really make a comeback. Hey, I enjoy your guys' show. I'll let somebody else call in.
Okay.
Thank you.
You got a great point there, though. That's true. Cats are...
I'm going to weigh in on the cat thing a little bit. You know, I trap. I run trail cameras almost 12 months out of the year. You know, I need to go get stuff set out and everything else. I can honestly say that I've never caught a feral cat while trapping, and I've never seen a feral cat on trail camera.
Hmm.
So I think it may be more isolated than what the caller was indicating. I mean, I'm not saying they're not around. I mean, you go down, you know, even down there where I live, down in Frontier County, and you'll see one, you know, miles from the closest farmyard, but I mean, it's definitely an issue. You get in certain areas. I don't think it's as big of an issue here as it is in other states, but it's definitely something that needs to be looked at eventually.
Listeners, already sending in. got my emails on the cats and go away.
That's so funny. Now, if we can come up with a cat plant idea, kind of like the horse plant idea, maybe that's what we need.
Oh, Lord, we'd have all the PETA people in the world down on us then.
Cats are very, very voracious predators. I mean, they are naturally predatory. Even your house cat wants to kill you. You may not realize it, but if you give him the chance, he would take advantage of it. So,
I inherited a cat. Let me put it that way.
Sounds like bad relatives.
last year, my son Isaac was at home. He and my wife were out in the backyard working, and this cat, more kitten than anything, wandered into the yard, and they fed it and petted it, and the cat went, hey, this ain't a bad place, and stayed around. Well, it turns out that he grew up quite big. He's part Maine Coon.
Oh, really?
According to what the vet thinks. But he is a heck of a hunter.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen him launch 8.5 feet in the air to take a Eurasian dove out
that,
that he was stalking.
Wow.
And he's always, he loves gophers and moles.
Yeah.
It's like, go for it, buddy. Keep doing that.
No doubt.
But you're right, they're voracious predators.
And that's something, you know, in the trapping side of things, you know, my main target animals was when the fur prices were good, I tried to trap bobcats because, you know, you could maybe, it, you know, 6-8 years ago, you get $25-30 for a coyote, you can get $250 to $300 for a good cat.
Right.
And one thing that I've noticed about, like, trapping bobcats, they're not as smart as coyotes. They're just more wary. It's strange, you know, because a coyote's wily. You know, they've got a brain in them, and they can, you know, they can, you know, flip a trap out of the ground or whatever else. Cats are just, you know, they're more cautious, and it's almost like they're just more wary, but they're not as smart as coyotes. They're not hard to trap, but they're it's a different type of trapping.
I had a biologist one time. He was actually working on his PhD in coyotes. We were talking, and he believed the coyote was the smartest thing that walked the North American continent.
Yeah.
He said, you get one shot at it.
Yep.
Either, you know, you get your shot or a trap or whatever, or it has learned from that experience and you'll never get another one.
Yeah, may never see him again.
So they're good ones. So call in if you have a question, 308-532-8221, and we'll see if TJ and I can answer it for you. Trapping opened up a whole new one. I hadn't thought about people calling in about trapping, and that, in my opinion, is kind of becoming a lost art.
It is, and it's unfortunate because it is a fantastic way to, you know, to get involved with the outdoors, even with kids. You know,
mm-hmm.
And a lot of people think, well, I don't have a creek running behind my house, I can't trap. I've trapped for years, and I've never trapped water. You know, we don't have
really?
You know, we don't have any running water. I don't obviously target muskrats and beavers because of that. But, you know, you get out, even up in the sandhills, you know, growing up, there's coyotes everywhere. You know, we trapped coyotes up there. And then, you know, as soon as my wife and I, you know, got married and I moved down to the farm down south here, you know, canyon ground, you know, bobcats and coyotes and raccoons, badgers, you know, all that fun
stuff.
Seems
like we got a good crop of raccoons this year.
There's always coons. Well, the thing with coons, nobody's trapped them for the last 3 years because they haven't been worth anything. So the cost or the number of raccoons is probably going to continue to rise because nobody's really targeting them, and that's not good. I mean, that they can cause more damage than a lot of other critters, especially to nests and stuff, too.
We were talking about cats being a problem with birds, but raccoons and skunks are really big egg eaters.
Oh, yeah.
And they go after
possums as well.
Yep. I hear music in the background. Does that mean commercial time?
Yeah, we need to take a quick break, I think.
Okay.
Alrighty.
We'll do that, and we'll be right back, folks.
Rebecca Shamaro, 33, and her husband are expecting their third crumb cruncher. They decided three were enough, so she asked their obstetrician to perform a tubal ligation after she delivers the child. But the hospital where she planned to deliver the baby is a Catholic hospital, a Mercy Medical Center in Redding, California. The hospital's religious principles do not permit tubals, so the request was turned down. There are other hospitals that do the procedure, albeit some distance away, so it shouldn't have become a major issue, but it has. The ACLU and Rebecca Shamaro sued the medical center and the health care provider Dignity Health, which operates 30 facilities in California, for sexual discrimination. Now, the case hasn't gained much nationwide attention, but it was a big deal locally. Los Angeles Times recently published a scathing column backing the lawsuit, demanding the religious values of the health care provider be brushed aside. This week, San Francisco Judge Ernest Goldsmith upheld a previous ruling that Mercy Medical Center was not engaging in discrimination by denying Ms. Shamaro the procedure. He noted the hospital's policy of not offering sterilizations also applies to men, and pointed out the couple could get the procedure done somewhere else. Now, don't think for 1 minute that this ruling's the end of the story. The left will not rest. Liberals would exhaust every avenue to wage war on those who dare to exercise their religious values, particularly when it comes to the birth of a child.
Have you seen what's new at the Minnow Bucket in North Platte? What could be new, you're wondering? Well, with the amount of inventory TJ has in store right now, there's definitely something you haven't tried yet or just ran out of. The Minnow Bucket is fully stocked with all types and styles of fishing lures, rod-reel combos, knives, electronics, repellent, guns, ammo, decoys, and minnows. Don't wait for another message saying your items are late. Get to the Minnow Bucket at 1013 South Jeffers and stock up now.
Here's your forecast on News Talk 1240 AM and 106.1 FM. Partial sunshine develops here for today with a high into the mid-60s. Winds out of the northeast around 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, a slight chance for showers and thunderstorms here late, partly cloudy skies, low near 47. By Saturday, a chance for showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, high of 64. Then by Sunday, a chance for rain showers, cloudy, high of 66. Weather is brought to you by North Platte Airport with daily jet service to Denver and beyond. Look at united.com.
Back to the Outdoor Connection with Rick Windham, brought to you by the Minnow Bucket. For every hunting excursion, gear up at 1013 South Jeffers in North Platte.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking with TJ Harding this morning from the Minnow Bucket, and we're answering any and all questions related to the outdoors. While we're waiting for another call, tell them, what do you got in new at the store?
I'll tell you what, man. We've got a lot of stuff in the last couple of weeks. You know, my distributors told me back in January. They said, you know, order as early and as often as you can because it will get to a point where you won't be able to get anything. So I really took that to heart, and I just started packing the store as full as I can get it. Right now, like I was saying off the air, I have rod and reel combos that have still been unpacked because I don't have any room for them right now. I mean, I would say I have probably close to over 200 rods and reels, you know, combos and you know, rods by themselves, reels by themselves, whatever else. Just got a whole bunch of bass stuff in because we're getting close to that bass season. A ton of topwater stuff, scum frogs, I've spinner baits. I got the Terminator spinner baits and the Tour Grade Strike King spinner baits that are both really nice baits. There's a company out of California called Mr. B's Lure Company.
Yep.
I started carrying them last year. I just got his stuff in this past week. Spinner baits, buzz baits, chatter baits. You know, the walleye guys obviously are bread and butter around here. There's still plenty of stuff in there for them, too. I was just telling you out there as well, I have over 40 pounds of leeches came in this week.
Well, it was kind of at least it's the right time of year for leeches.
Yeah, it was kind of a snafu from the place I ordered them from. But I ordered 20 pounds, and they sent me 40. So I was telling you, too, I didn't get them for free. I had to pay for them. So, unfortunately, I can't give you any deals on them. But I will sell them by the pound, and they're good ones. They're big old jumbos. So,
and especially if you're going up to Merritt this time of year.
Oh, yeah, Merritt's the leech capital up there. And, you know, everybody that goes up there, you know, they want to take them big leeches. That's the way they fish for them up there.
For good walleye fishing up there.
Absolutely.
I used to tell people back when True Value was here in town, and they had a sporting goods section, and they did a great job with it. And I used to tell people that was the best place to go between Sydney and Kearney. And now you go to Sydney and Kearney, and you got more stuff than they do.
And unfortunately, it's been a while since I've had a chance to go to a Cabela's store, you know, and I always enjoyed going, you know, even before I worked there, during the time I worked there, and since I've worked there.
If you're an outdoorsman,
I mean, it's just one of those things, if nothing else, you can just enjoy the taxidermy and, you know, look at all the cool stuff. But I had some guys come in the other day. They said they'd been to both Kearney and Sydney in the last 2 weeks, and they were just amazed at how much more stuff I had in my little store than what they did at Cabela's.
When it comes to the, you know, the gear, the fishing gear, the hunting gear, they're right.
And, you know, and I may not have the electronics, you know, the Hummingbirds and the Minn Kotas, but a lot of places don't right now because of how hard it is to get any of that type of stuff.
So. They're getting impacted. The electronics part is getting impacted by the lack of the digital chips.
Yep, the chips.
That's sidelining all the automobiles,
especially the diesels.
Right.
Yeah.
But most of what I've seen the last couple of times I've been at Kearney or Sydney is they've got 85-90% of their floor space is dedicated to clothing.
Yep, they've really switched since Bass Pro took over, and it's I won't say too much because I have, you know, pretty close feelings for what happened with that deal. You know, but it's sad to me to see what that place is kind of becoming. So.
Yeah, it's. I noticed the last time I was out at Sydney, it's only half the store it used to be.
Really?
They've put a false wall in there.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll be darned. I didn't know that.
It's of course, there's no bargain bin or anything like that anymore. But you know, I got back there and I'm looking, and I realized there's a false wall up there.
I'll be darned.
But what? Back to your leeches for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
The walleye fishermen that you know, how do they fish leeches? What's the technique?
They slip bobber fish them.
Yep.
They get on the weed beds or, you know, on the edge of the weed beds, and they'll run a slip bobber with it. And I've done it too, even down at Jeffrey Lake, you know, just sitting down there fishing. I've slip bobbered and caught walleye with leeches off the bank down there. So
I've never tried that at Jeffrey.
It works. It works well.
A few years back, I had a couple guys that I got to know. They were the furthest north professional crappie anglers, tournament anglers in the country.
Yeah.
And they were based out of Omaha.
I see.
And I invited them. We came out here and we fished Jeffrey Lake. And I learned how to fish Jeffrey Lake with those guys.
Oh, yeah.
I think we got a phone call there, Tristan.
We do.
So we'll get one more in here.
Dial again.
Whoops, we missed it.
Yes, sorry, I was in a quick meeting.
Call back.
532-8221, give us a ring back. Still have a few minutes left for the hour.
I was able to sneak down to Jeffrey, what day was it, 2 days ago, 3 days ago. Donnie offered to work for me. That's Tuesday, because he was going to Kerwin yesterday.
I think we have our caller joining us now. Good morning, you're on the Outdoor Connection.
Good morning. Say, long-time listener, first-time caller. Hey, I'm just wondering if I could stump these guys with a pretty simple question, if you're a naval sailor anyway. What's the temperature the saltwater freezes at?
39 degrees.
It's
colder. It's colder because of the salinity, but I don't know the exact number.
I've never seen the ocean. That's my excuse for not knowing that question.
Oh, my goodness. You haven't lived, Bud. You haven't lived yet. 28.4 degrees.
28.4. I figured it'd be colder than that. I figured it would be down to
teens. Actually, 28.4. Another question. It's not really stump you guys. I was just wondering if you guys have had any readings you come across about why the Alaskan king salmon has basically vanished up there in Alaska. Anybody ever figure out what the deal was with that?
Oh, that's a huge amount of study going on up there, and there's... what it seems to be settling in that most people are focusing on is, one, overfishing, and we're particularly talking about the guys out in the ocean doing the long line and the netting. And the other one is runoff from clear-cut forests and stuff like that, runoff, and that being having more turbid water, and they just don't like that.
Mm.
The chemicals or whatever it was coming off into the tributaries that they're running up the spawn, you're talking about?
More just the silt and stuff that's coming in than chemical, but it's still impacting the water quality.
Yeah, because believe it or not, a fish can drown, you know, in its own water if it's too dirty. You know, some fish are used to, you look like your carp and your catfish and your bullhead stuff, they thrive in muddy water, but you get a salmon or a trout or... even walleye that are used to, you know, clear water, highly oxygenated water, and, you know, it gets too silted up and too dirty, and they can actually suffocate in their own home.
I'll be darned. Wonderful.
Yeah.
All right. I appreciate the news there, fellas. Like I said, long-time listener, first-time caller out of Grand Isle, Nebraska. Appreciate you guys.
You bet. Thanks for calling.
Very good. Thanks for the call. That was a good one. So...
Anyway, the other day I went down to Jeffrey, girls and I went down there, and I took a bucket full of minnows, and we had a heck of a good day. Just fishing off the bank, the in-laws got a cabin down there, so we set up, and I think we ended up keeping 20 crappies. My youngest daughter, Donna, she's 9, she caught the biggest one at 14 and a half, and we had two or three more that were over 14.
Now, 14-inch crappie around here,
that's no slouch.
That's no slouch.
That's
some bragging rights there.
Master Anglers, 15 inches or 2 pounds. Right. I didn't weigh these, but we had 3 or 4 of them over 14 inches, and then we didn't keep anything that was less than like 11, you know. We had a good day.
That's a nice mess
of
fish.
Yeah, you bet it was.
What's your recipe for cooking them up?
Flour it and fry it. That's okay. Salt and pepper to taste.
Yeah.
Maybe put a little bit of lemon pepper or something on there. But no, I'm a pretty simple fish fry guy. I just flour it and fry it. I don't get into the fancy breadings or anything.
We've got the crew that I normally, you know, you have a cadre of guys that are kind of your core group that you hunt mm-hmm. fish with. Man, we are chomping at the bit to have a fishing camp and just right out of the water and into the...
Oh, yeah, right into the frying pan.
That's right. It doesn't get much better than that.
You know, one thing that did surprise me down there the other day, and I don't know if I've told you this, I'm not as much of a fisherman as I'm a hunter, but those crappies that were females still had eggs in them. I figured they'd be spawned out by now.
This late. Huh?
Yeah, almost the 1st of June, and maybe that's why they're still biting so good. I don't know, but it was interesting.
That does sound a little odd.
Yeah, they still had eggs in them, so...
You know Daryl Bauer, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I've told Daryl that I'd be a better fisherman if they let me shoot him. Because if it goes bang, that's where I'm at first, man.
Speaking of bang, another deal we've got going on down at the store right now. I brought back 12 new firearms. There's a huge gun auction in McCook 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And, well, I shouldn't say I brought back 12. I brought back 9 and kept 3 for home.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I've sold a few of those already. But
is that an occupational hazard?
It is. And that was my wife's, that was Danielle's biggest concern when I got my FFL. She just kind of shuddered and said, you're going to keep way too many guns. And I said, well, it's unfortunately part of the gig these days. So. But, no, that was a fantastic auction down there. And, you know, things went high, you know, for the way things are these
things
days.
Are right
it, was,
now.
It was pretty high. But I did bring in some really good stuff. If you're in the market for a fantastic, good, used rifle, shotgun, I've got some handguns. I have a ton of firearms down there right now, and I even have some ammo to go with them, too. So.
Matter of fact, I sent a guy your way the other day.
You did?
You had 2 boxes of 25 WSSM.
Yep.
And he had a Remington BDL 700 that was a Ducks Unlimited or something version.
Yeah.
That was his only worry, is he
couldn't get ammo for it.
And I sent him your way.
There you go. You know, and the funny thing with the ammo down there, because they run 2 rings of that auction. They had a firearms ring, and then they had, it was a 2-day auction, too.
Yeah.
And then they had one day they did reloading stuff, and the next day they did ammo. And, I mean, 22 shells were going for $150 for 250-round boxes. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Wow.
But one of my friends stayed. I left as soon as the guns got over with on that second day. One of my buddies stayed until like 7 or 8 o'clock that night. And I told him, or he asked me, he goes, do you need anything? I said, I need some 10mm ammo. I actually cobbed on to one of my Glock 10mm
right.
that came in here a while back and didn't have any shells for it. And he said, well, how much do you want to spend? So I told him, don't go over this and whatever else. And he brought me 2 huge boxes, 200 rounds apiece in these boxes. And I was like, holy cow, you know, how much cost me? He goes, everybody left.
Really?
He said the prices went down tremendously after about 4 or 5 o'clock. And he said, there's some good buys after that.
Well, good for you.
Yeah, so...
Well, I hear the music, so Tristan says we're done. So,
that's it.
TJ, thanks again for coming in.
You bet. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, you bet. And this is always fun.
Oh, yeah.
You never know what we're going to get. So that's it for this week, folks. We'll see you next week on another edition of the Outdoor Connection.